Good morning. We'll be wrapping up our study of 2 Corinthians this morning as we take a look at chapter 13. So before we get started this morning, let's go to God in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and honor you and give you all glory. Thank you so much for being our provider. Thank you so much for being our God. We pray, Father, as we finish up this study in 2 Corinthians today, that we may have a greater understanding of Paul's writing to the Corinthians, better understanding of what you would have us to be as your children today, and that we can take the things that we've learned in this study and to put them into our own lives as we grow and as we mature in our own faith, that we may continue to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to make sure always that we are in Christ. We pray especially at this time, Father, for the pandemic that we're all in. We pray for the ones that are providing for us. We pray for our own safety and the safety of others. And we pray, Father, as we are really apart physically at this time, that we grow even closer together, and especially to grow closer to you during this time. Thank you so much, Father, for always being there, always being in control. And these things we ask in your Son's name, Christ Jesus, and amen. As we looked at chapter 12 last week, Paul had warned the Corinthians at the end of chapter 12 that if he found some unrepentant of their sinful practices when he came, that he would administer discipline to those. Paul really didn't want this to happen, and he knew the Corinthians didn't either, but he would be prepared to be stern if necessary. All Paul desired was that for the Corinthians to live for Christ. As he closes his letter, Paul describes a true Christian's walk in life, a life that is growing into the image of Christ. Paul has spent time at the assistance of the Corinthians comparing himself to others. Now Paul ends his letter by telling his beloved brethren, now is the time to examine themselves and compare themselves to Christ. So as we get into chapter 13 in verse 1, Paul tells them, this is the third time that I'm coming to you. He had mentioned this already in chapter 12 in verse 14, and I think this just emphasizes to the Corinthians that they need to be prepared, that Paul indeed was coming, and that if they weren't prepared for his coming, if they had remained unrepentant, that he certainly would be administering discipline to them. They had accused Paul in previous times of being wishy-washy, not really holding on to what he said all the time. So I think Paul was just reminding the Corinthians once again, yes, indeed, I'm coming, and I'm coming to see you. And then at the end of verse 1, he talks about when he comes, that the charges he has against some will be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And this evidence of two or three witnesses is a quotation from Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. And what Paul is telling the Corinthians is that indeed he's not coming just on his own think so, but he has evidence. And this evidence is supported by multiple witnesses. Paul's charges against those in Corinth that were unrepentant would be charges based upon the facts, not based upon just what Paul thought. Paul was not going to be the judge. It was going to be God's word that would be their judge. If you remember back in chapter 12 and verse 19, Paul had said, it is in the sight of God we have been speaking in Christ. What Paul would tell them, what Paul would charge them against, would be based upon the word of God and based upon witnesses, based upon true evidence. As we look at verses 2 through 4, Paul once again tells them that in the past that he's warned them. He's warned them both through letters. We have at least two letters, which we call 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul had warned them through a second visit that he had made. But now he tells them at the end of verse 2, When I come, I will not spare you. That now my warnings are going to give way to discipline when he comes. He has all the evidence he needs to prove his charges, and he has witnesses. And he had really, when you think about witnesses, he had many witnesses that would have told him and kept him informed about the activities and how the Corinthians were. He had the evidence of himself. He had the evidence of Timothy that had been there. Titus had been among the Corinthians. Apollos had been among them. He had heard things from the house of Chloe. And even those that had brought the first letter to him would have told him things about the Corinthians, and I'm sure even others. So Paul certainly had plenty of evidence. So how Paul dealt with the Corinthians, he said, was not evidence that he had no authority, because in how he dealt with them in the past, he had just been warning them and not disciplining them. But he said this wasn't evidence that he had no authority. And this is what they would have said. As we remember, the Corinthians had said that Paul's letters are weighty, but his presence is weak. But Paul says when he came, they would see proof of his authority as a true apostle of Christ through his discipline when he came. In verse 3, he says, since you seek this proof of Christ speaking in me, Paul says, I'll show you the proof. The proof is that I will not spare them when I come. Then Paul goes on and uses an illustration or an example from the life of Christ to show how that he certainly does have the authority, even if he's just warning them or if he's disciplining them. He uses the example of Christ. In verse 3, he says that Christ was not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. Christ, even though in many times in his ministry was gentle and loving and patient, at the same time, Christ had all authority. Christ had authority. And the example that Paul uses in verse 4 talks about Christ was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. So when we look at the example of Christ and his crucifixion, when we look at the cross, do we say that Christ was weak because he had no power or authority at the cross? Well, no, that wasn't true at all, because he did have power and authority at the cross. Christ could have called 10,000 legions of angels to come and take him down from the cross. But no, he was only weak in the sense that he was a humble, obedient servant of his Father at that time. At his resurrection, Jesus' power and his authority was displayed really for all to see. And Paul says that's the same with him. As he says in verse 4, for we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. So when you look at Paul, when Paul was with the Corinthians previously, was Paul really weak? That is, having no authority because he did not discipline the unrepentant? Just like Jesus, no, he wasn't weak as having no authority, but he was weak in the sense of just being a patient, loving father to the Corinthians. Paul says when he comes, that the power and the authority given to Paul by Jesus will be then displayed for all to see. So Paul warns him. Paul has been warning them, but now says, when I come, if they're still unrepentant there, then just as I have the power of Christ, then I will discipline them. Paul had given these people time to repent. He let them have time to sort all of this out for themselves. He was now coming, and if these sins have not been repented of, when he gets to Corinth, it will be time for the church to take action, and Paul was going to authorize this action. good lesson for us in our lives today. When we ask such questions, what needs to be done when there's sin in the church? Well, there needs to be patience, there needs to be teaching, there needs to be warnings given to the sinner. But sin in the church cannot be allowed to go on forever. There comes a time when the unrepentant sin must be handled by the church. Shepherds of a congregation have the authority of Christ to use the evidence gathered to discipline those unwilling to repent. It is the same as Paul was prepared to do when he arrived at Corinth. As we look at verse 5 and verse 6, Paul knows that the Corinthians have been asking many questions about whether Paul was speaking in Christ or whether Christ was speaking in Paul. Remember back in verse 3, he talked about, since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me. That was a question that the Corinthians had constantly been asking about Paul. Was Paul a true apostle? Was Paul speaking in Christ? But really, they shouldn't have been asking about Paul, but they should have been asking about themselves, whether they were in Christ or whether Christ was in them. Remember back the Hebrew writer in verse chapter 12 in verse 2, the Hebrew writer says we need to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's really easy to criticize or to examine others instead of ourselves. The Corinthians were quick to examine Paul, to criticize Paul, instead of looking inward at themselves and examining themselves and testing themselves and looking at themselves and trying to determine if they were in the faith. And certainly that hasn't changed in our lifetime today. We're usually quicker to criticize or to examine others before we examine ourselves. It's easier to look at others instead of looking at ourselves. Paul tells the Corinthians that they need to determine whether Jesus Christ is in them. How were they to do that? Verse 5, he says that you need to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Paul had written this letter to them describing what a servant of Jesus really looks like. Paul then now tells the Corinthians, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine your life. If Christ is in you, then meekness and gentleness will be on display. If Christ is in you, then you will be seen as a servant of the Lord and will not act boastfully and arrogant and self-serving. If Christ is in you, you will not remain in unrepentant sin. If Christ is in you, you will see Paul as a true apostle of Christ. For it is the teaching of Paul that revealed Christ and faith to them in the first place. Look back to verse 6, where Paul says, you will see that I have not failed the test. If the Corinthians truly were in Christ, then they would certainly see that Paul was truly an apostle of Christ. Well, certainly the question then is for us today, is Christ in us today? When we think about our own lives and examine our own lives, it certainly, as we've talked many times before in the past, it certainly starts with Christ being in our hearts, Christ being in our thinking process. And then it becomes displayed in our emotions, our attitude, our motives, our speech, our actions. Really, the beauty of a Christian life is not seeing how good a person is, but fully seeing the image of Christ in that person. So certainly we need to be examining our own selves today in our own lives. As we go on to verses 7 through 10, Paul is coming to the Corinthians. Paul is prepared to discipline the Corinthians. But what he really wants to do is to build them up, to have them to do right, to have them being faithful to God. And as he mentions that, he talks about his desire for the Corinthians. In verse 7, he says is really his true desire, and what he prays for is that they may do no wrong, that they may do what is right. And that's the life of a true Christian. The life of a true Christian is not doing wrong, but doing right. And when we think about that, many times we tend to probably emphasize more about not doing wrong instead of doing right. But the life of a Christian is really a two-way street. Yes, we don't do wrong, but at the same time, that's not all of our life. Our life is also doing the things that are right. And we can see here that, once again, Paul's emphasis isn't on himself, but it's on what? On the Corinthians, and the Corinthians living their life. And as he says in verse 7, that if they would do the right things, then he wouldn't have to discipline them when he came. And even though the discipline would be a test of his apostleship, he was willing to fail that test so the Corinthians would be right. He was hoping even not to discipline them, even though discipline would be a sign of his apostleship. In verse 9, he also prays that they be restored. He hoped that in examining and testing, that they might find that they indeed were in Christ. Or, through their examining and testing, if they found they weren't in Christ, that they would be willing to make corrections in their life and not have to discipline them and be willing to repent. Once again, the emphasis on the Corinthians, not on himself, because Paul says, I'm willing to be weak that you be strong. Paul's willing to seem to be weak by not disciplining once again, if that would mean that the Corinthians would be strong in Christ. And then in verse 10, Paul says that his desire is to build up the Corinthians and not tear the Corinthians down. Certainly, Paul had the authority both to build up and to tear down. He could build up the Corinthians, but he could discipline them. He could tear them down. His desire, though, was for the Corinthians to be strong and to pass the test of faith. When we look at building up today, we should always have a goal of building one another up, not tearing each other down. We should always be asking, what can I do to spiritually help this individual? If we remember Ryan's class from last Sunday on Hebrews, in Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the Hebrew writer says, we should always be considering how to stir one another up to love and to good works. We are to use God, or we are to use really Christ's grace to us through our gifts and our abilities that he gives us to determine how we can help each other and to use these gifts and use these abilities. Encouragement is a part of building up. Teaching is a part of building up. Correction is a part of building up. Giving direction is a part of building up. Satan is always eager to tear us down. So let us be all strong in Christ, building ourselves and others up in our faith. And as we get into verse 11, Paul is wrapping up his letter to these Corinthians. He wants to build them up. He wants to find them in the faith when he comes to Corinth. In chapter 12, in verse 20, remember what Paul said and how the Corinthians were acting at the time? In chapter 12, verse 20, Paul says, for I fear, for perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there be quarreling, jealousies, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. These aren't the things that Paul wanted to see of the Corinthians when he came. What he wanted to see when he came to Corinth we find in verse 11. Rejoicing, restoration, comfort, unity, peace. Those were the things that Paul was looking for from the Corinthians when he came to see them. And certainly these are goals and aims for all Christians, not for the Corinthians. In our lives today, these should be our own aims, our own goals. And hopefully as we examine ourselves, as we test ourselves, that we find these things, and we must find these things in our own lives. That finally, brothers, rejoice. I know some translations have the word farewell there instead of rejoice, but I like the ESV translation, rejoice. Be joyful. This is not just a be happy attitude. Remember, we talked about the differences in a previous class, difference between being happy and having joy. We have joy as we focus on our relationship to God the Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in the Lord because of what we have been given by God's grace and God's. We also need to aim for restoration. We need to be constantly thinking about our spiritual lives. If our life is broken, then it needs to be put back together. If it is divided or fractured, it needs to be made whole again. Our aim is to always have our lives restored to God's will and His purpose for us. We aim to help others in restoring their lives and to grow in the Lord. We aim to be unified as we work together for maturity and the completion of lives lived for Christ. But we also comfort one another. We talked about comfort a lot in chapter 1. Even as God is the God of comfort, we too comfort and encourage one another in the trials of life. We help one another to be strong in Christ. We have close relationships with others. We listen and we share with one another. We provide what is needed, and we pray for one another. We also must be willing to agree with one another. We are to be like-minded. We are to be in harmony one with another. Our aim should never be to cause problems, but to look for common ground and to agree with one another. But before anything else, we must always agree with God first. Then finally, we are to live in peace. Do we look to cause problems, or do we look to bring solutions? Do we look to harm others and cause conflict, or do we look to be peacemakers? We need to be at peace with God, to be at peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be at peace with all men. Then finally, he closes up his letter, I believe once again, by giving the Corinthians encouragement that they're not in it alone, that they have support. Certainly, they have the support of Paul, but they also have the support of one another. They have the support of other congregations, and they have the support of God. And I think we see that in the last three verses, where in verse 12, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. They need to love one another. They need to have unity and harmony in the work there at Corinth. They can help each other build each other up. In verse 13, Paul says, let all the saints, or all the saints, greet you. The Corinthians weren't alone. They weren't just a congregation alone without any other support. Paul talked about the Corinthians to other congregations. Other congregations knew about Corinthians, knew about their struggles, knew about what needed to be done. Other saints supported them and prayed for them because Paul understood that all congregations stand united in Christ. But more important, and the most important, is that Paul wanted the Corinthians to know that they had God on their side. And in verse 14, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Corinthians had God on their side. They had the totality of God on their side. They had the unity of God on their side. As we close the study, thank you for studying along with me. When we look back at this letter known as 2 Corinthians, many times when we think of 2 Corinthians and maybe ask somebody, what's 2 Corinthians all about? People are quick to say, well, it's about a defense of Paul's apostleship. And indeed it is. And Paul does include that and discuss that, his defense in this letter. But I hope as we've gone through this study together that you've seen that it is really much more than just that. Paul's true purpose for writing to the Corinthians, I believe, was to encourage them, to build them up in their faith. He wanted them to examine themselves, to test themselves, to make sure they were living the type of life that would please Christ. And if they weren't, then be willing to make the necessary corrections. As Christians today, our goal also is to please Christ. The things that Paul wrote that would build up the Corinthians and make them strong in Christ will accomplish the same in our lives today. So as we review some of these things, let's make sure that we daily examine ourselves. Remember back in chapter 1, we talked about Christians provide comfort to others as God comforts us. Chapter 2, we talked about the importance of forgiveness. Chapter 3 was on reflecting the image of Christ in our own lives. Chapter 4, we need to renew our inward person day by day. Chapter 5, our motivation in life should always be to be well-pleasing to Christ. Chapter 6, we don't need to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Chapter 7, we always need to be overflowing with joy. Chapter 8, we need to abound in generosity. Chapter 9, we need to have an attitude of giving instead of having an attitude of greediness. Chapter 10, let him who boast in the Lord. Chapter 11, we don't need to allow or let Satan to lead us astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Chapter 12, Christ's grace is sufficient for us. And then in chapter 13, we need to rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. As Paul ended his letter, we'll end our study of 2 Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you for sharing in this study.